And tonight I'm just going to share on healing. And I was going to call it healing, give it a rest. But I thought that might sound like a negative connotation. So how about healing, let's rest. Because, you know, and you'll get to see why I say that as we go. I was going to turn to Isaiah for a second. Isaiah 53, which is a foundational scripture here, as many of you know. So, Father, we just thank you for this night. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the word can penetrate us into our spirit, man. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we receive from you, that we walk forth from here healed and whole in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Isaiah 53, like I said, if you've been around here for a while, you've heard this as one of our foundation stones, foundation scriptures for healing. So Isaiah 53, I was going to look at this quickly because a lot of us know it. Surely he has borne our griefs, which is sickness, that word sickness, carried our sorrows, and that word is pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace, or our shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed or whole. You know, and that's why it's one of the foundational scriptures, is because when he went to the cross, he not only, as we want to look at, not only died for our salvation, but he also was whipped for our healing. And I think it's the fact that sometimes we, why we have to rest in that is because we always try and add work to that mentality. So it's one of the things we're going to look at. Where it's neat in the fact that the word is the word is the word, and it never changes. It's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sometimes we look at scripture and we, well, you know, we read it and we read it and we read it. And we don't find out actually what it says because it's he bore our griefs. He borrowed our sickness. He took our pain, and that's what we got to realize. It's an emotional healing. It's also a physical healing. Also, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. And these are two things that you need to know as a New Testament believer, and because we all are going to have the enemy try and attack us with sickness or disease or accidents or something. Well, we got to know the word in order to fight. Amen? So 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Say were. Were is past tense. If you're a believer, you already are healed. But you don't feel like it. But what did Pastor Ken say? We walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't mean you're lying when you say, I'm healed. It means you're speaking the word over your life. Amen? Amen. And that's the thing, is we got to realize that by his stripes, you were healed. Past tense. So one of the greatest barriers to faith of many of us seeking bodily healing is the uncertainty in our minds that it's being the will of God to heal. Heal or the will of God to heal me or us as individuals. You know, and I've been there, thought about that sometimes. Sometimes we think it's only God's will that only some people get healed. Some people get blessed. Some people, we could take it into all aspects. But it's that fact that God doesn't have favorites. We are all his favorites. We can all appropriate healing. You know, I was thinking on the way here that everything we do as a believer is by faith, whether it be our prosperity or our healing. But you know, it's interesting because prosperity, we can believe for prosperity, but we still have to have an action to it, which is to sow, give, and it shall be given unto you. Sow, and a harvest will come to reap. Healing, receive. That's it, right? Now, there's different aspects for tangent points of faith. There is laying on of hands. There is corporate prayer. There is anointing with cloths. There is anointing with oil. It depends on what you believe. There's a tangent point. God will not do things just one way. He will do things many ways in how you want to believe. But when it comes to healing, it's received, whether it be by laying on the hands, corporate prayer, speaking the word, releasing, but you got to release your faith. And I think it's just, it's kind of neat that with healing, it's simple. But as people, sometimes we make it complicated. Sometimes we have to feel, we have to do things. So I'm going to turn to Galatians 3. And this, I was looking at this scripture actually the other day. And, you know, and it's not necessarily like a healing scripture, but it's something that I've read many times before, and I like it. Galatians 3:1. Can you do New King James? Only because that's what I use. I know it says King James, sorry. So, but just that way. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? If you have suffered so many things in vain, indeed, if it is in vain, I think we'll just stop there for a second. Because he says, O foolish Galatians, he says, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell over your eyes? That's what he's saying to the Galatian church. Who has bewitched you? Who has taken the truth and twisted it by adding something to it? That's like a candle wick is cords that are twisted, right? That's where they get Wicca. They take the truth and they add a little bit of deception in there. So he says, Paul says to the Galatian church, you've started by faith, got born again by faith, believing God. But over time, sometimes we allow traditions to add a little bit of truth in there. Well, sometimes God will put sickness on me to teach me a lesson. Little bit of deception or a lot of deception in there. God will take me through a hard place to teach me patience. It's a little bit of deception. I was thinking that I was talking to Kathy the other day. We were talking because I heard something about somebody saying that God will take you through or do things with you to teach you something that healed. Now, I know we go through things, because that is life. We do go through things. And God will take us through things. But I can't find anywhere where he puts things on us. He doesn't put sickness on us. It says that Jesus went and he preached and he taught and he healed. So he didn't put sickness on somebody to teach them something and then heal them. He didn't take somebody through a divorce to teach them something. I went through a divorce. God didn't put it on me. I did it because of my silliness or my mistakes. God got me through it, but God didn't put it on me. I can't blame God for putting it on me. I got divorced because God did. God gave me that woman before I met this woman. It was my choice, right? It wasn't that God. I wasn't even saved then. So God didn't take me through these things. It's like, and sometimes we think there's a little bit of deception. Well, I must be in the hospital room so I can teach my neighbor about the gospel. Wouldn't have a chance to preach. Well, preach the gospel because you're there. God didn't put you in the hospital so you could preach the gospel. Right? But I've heard this. I've heard of, not here, praise God, but I've heard of in London, of a church, the pastor's wife had a bad back. And she would tell people, it's the burden of the ministry that's affecting me. Then maybe you shouldn't be in the calling of God. Maybe that's not the ministry God has for you. He wouldn't break my leg to teach me something. That makes him a child abuser. You know? And that's why we got to realize that if we've begun things in the spirit, we got to realize that faith comes like our salvation. Believe and receive. Speak it out and receive, you know. And so it's a little bit that we realize, and I'll get to a couple of things, that it's not a works mentality. We have to realize that healing is not a works mentality. There's nothing wrong with prayer. There's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with tangent points of faith and doing what you believe. And like I've done it. I've called my pastor and said, I just need prayer for you know, come into agreement with this. And I'll pray for anybody. That's not what I mean. That's not a works mentality. That's doing what the Word says. The Word says, call the elders of the church and they'll pray over you. If you have any sins, You'll be forgiven and you'll be healed, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. But a works mentality is, God will not heal me until I quit smoking. That's a works mentality. That's not grace. Is God will heal you when you believe. I got healed when I was still smoking. Because I was still smoking and I did something and I got sick about something. I was like, Lord, you know what? This is what the word says, and I got healed. But I was still smoking. But people say, well, God won't heal you unless if you're still smoking. Why is that one sin different than the other sin? I'm not perfect now. I still am a person who sins. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. But I still, if the word says if you say that you don't sin, you're a liar. Right? We all make mistakes. We all miss it. But when we sit there and think God's not going to heal you if you're still smoking, is a works mentality. Now, it doesn't mean you go smoke. I quit smoking. I got delivered from it. You know, I made a confession and got delivered from smoking. Okay? Because like I said, smoking's not a, you know, won't take you to hell, but it might take you there quicker because it does affect your body, right? We have to look after our temple, the Bible says. We have to watch ourselves. So don't say, well, I heard that you can keep smoking. That's not what I'm saying, right? But if you're waiting for your perfect to receive your healing, then are you ever going to receive your perfect, your healing? Because you might not, in your mind, think that you're ever going to be perfect. Because none of us are going to be perfect. We can be mature, and we can be the best that we're supposed to be, but healing can come like that when we believe. And that's what we got to realize, is that once we believe the word, we can receive our healing. And that's why faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the word. You know? So Mark 16, 16 to 18 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So if you're a believer, these signs will follow you. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Christ Jesus has a promise for your soul. You shall be saved. Your spirit man, you get born again. It's in the Great Commission. Go preach the gospel. People get saved. It's part of the Great Commission. But he also has a promise for the body. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's also part of the Great Commission. So healing is tied in with salvation. It is tied in with salvation. It's not separate and apart. It is part and parcel of our package as believers. It's something that we can receive, and it's something that we can minister to others, and it's something that we can do. Does it mean that I don't ever get sick? No. But it means that I know that I have the answer when I do get sick. When sickness tries to come upon me, I have an answer. Amen? When sickness tries to come upon your children, you have an answer, right? When the enemy tries to come against you when it comes to sickness, you have an answer. You know, it says that at the Lord's Supper, wine is taken in remembrance for the death of for our souls, for spirit man. His death was for our to be born again. But also in the Lord's Supper, the bread is eaten in remembrance for healing. Because by his stripes, we are healed. His body was ripped for our healing. And so what we got to realize is that it's part and parcel of our spirit being born again and then our body being healed as well. And sometimes we sometimes think that it's not tied together. We think of it as something separate, and it's not. You know, and I like the fact that in Matthew 9, 5 to 7, Jesus was talking, this is the man that brought down, ripped up the roof, lowered it down. And Jesus says, for what is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take thy bed and walk? And he says, so that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take your bed and go. And he arose and departed. Sometimes we think one is harder than the other. How easy was it for you to get born again? Anybody remember? I remember I went to the front. The guy preached the gospel. I can't remember what he preached on. I'd been to church, going to Sunday school. I'd gone with my mom. And as an adult, I went. I can't remember what he shared. He did an altar call, and I went to the front. Cried. Got his suit all wet and everything, you know. I was born again. It was easy. But how come healing seems hard? Jesus, one's just as easy as the other. It's all part of the cross. It was all a finished work of Calvary. It is finished, including your healing. It's finished work. What does it say, 1 Peter 2:24? By his stripes we were healed.
So I like the fact that we got to realize, though, that there is a power. In Luke 9, 1 to 2, he says, he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's all part and parcel. Preach the gospel, heal the sick. Preach the gospel, heal the sick. It's all tied together. So Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? That word is strength, power, and ability. His inherent power residing in a thing by virtuous nature. That's not dunamis. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now that word is kratos, which is mighty with great power or force or strength. He gives us the authority and the power, right, over the enemy. And that also means over sickness and disease. He gives us the authority over that. So I'm going to look at a couple of things here to realize that healing is part of our rest, because we have to rest in the fact that healing is ours. We have to rest in the fact that we don't have to run and do all these things to receive what God has for us. You know, like Brother Hagin says, it might not fall like cherries off a tree, but we have to be able to realize what the word says and walk in the fullness of it. In Galatians 3:21, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. And Paul's talking to the Galatians about the law and grace. He's talking about the old covenant law. So he says, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which have given life, verily righteousness would have been given by the law. So the question is, does the law give life? No, it does not give life. Following the Ten Commandments or the 600 laws of Leviticus will not give you life. That's what Paul says. But is it there? It was there. The law is there as a tutor. It's there to show us that we need mercy, we need grace, and we need salvation in Jesus. But the law, following the law, will not give you life. So a works mentality will not give you life. Works mentality will also not give you healing. Sit there, if I pray 10 minutes, 5 times a day, God will heal me. No. He will heal you when you pray believing or you're speaking out. God would rather have you pray 5 minutes wanting to pray than an hour having to pray. Having to pray. Oh, I got to pray. You know, and we got to be careful as Word of Faith people. I know I had to watch myself one time of getting into a confession. Oh, I got to say my confession at every lunch hour. I got to say my confession at 2:00. So suddenly now, I got myself a couple of years ago into a works mentality. I was believing for something. So I would have like my things I was believing for. I would have my breakfast. I would say my confession. But then it was like, oh, I forgot to say at lunch hour. Oh. Now it became a religious works mentality. Say my confession 5 times a day or I'm not going to receive from God. It became a works mentality. And these were confessions based on the word. So we got to be careful that we don't get into works mentality, because keeping the law will not bring life. Only faith in Jesus and what he has done at the cross will bring life. Galatians 3:2 says, only this I would learn of you. Receive you the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Keeping the law did not bring the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes by faith. Now, when you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. But if you believe in tongues or you want the manifestation of the Spirit, you need to believe in it to receive the manifestation of the Spirit. So if you're a born-again believer and you're thinking about tongues or an outward working of the Spirit of God, it's not going to come because of a works mentality. It's going to come because you believe. That's why a lot of churches that don't believe in speaking in tongues, they don't. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. They don't have it because they don't preach it. They don't teach about it. You get taught something, you'll receive what you get taught. Like Pastor says, you know, he learned that if a church wants something in 5 years, you need to start teaching on it now. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. People that don't believe in healing, usually it's because they don't get taught healing. Most believers believe God will heal. Most people don't believe God will heal them or that God will heal
now, or that God will heal me because I'm not good enough. That's why if you don't think you're good enough to receive healing from God, then you need to take righteousness class when it becomes available and learn your authority and that you have right standing with God by faith. Amen. Right? By faith. You know, we sit there, and I have a big thing, and I have to be careful that I don't get, because I can debate with people, and I got to make sure I don't debate with people when I hear people say that, you know, God brings sickness to teach me something, because that irks me, because he doesn't teach that way, you know, or when people say, I don't know if God wants me healed. I ran into that with a guy at work, a believer, like, I don't think God wants me healed. Then why are you taking the aspirin? You don't know if God wants you healed because you think he might be teaching you something, but you're taking aspirin to get rid of the headache, but you don't know if he wants you healed. So maybe you're taking yourself out of the will of God by taking the aspirin to get rid of the pain because you don't know what will of God is. You just mentioned that. I don't know if God wants me healed. So you think God might want you sick or in pain. So then why are you taking the aspirin? It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. But when you put it that way, people are like, I don't believe in prosperity. And then why are you working overtime? Why do you care if you're making $10 an hour or $100 an hour? You don't believe in prosperity. You don't believe in God's prosperity. You have no problem working at a works mentality to get what you think God wants to give you instead of just receiving. So I said to the guy, I said, you need to stop taking the aspirin or find out what God, if God wants you healed, then don't, like, nothing wrong, don't take aspirins, but believe God for the healing. You know, I remember when we first met, I'll pick on my wife because she's not here. When we first met, she had a job and it was stressful and she used to get headaches once in a while and I think it was stress from the job. So she'd take aspirin. So I said to her one time, I said, stop taking the aspirins. Like don't stop taking the aspirins like that, you know. But I was like, taking aspirin takes about 45 minutes or so to work. I said, next time, just confess scripture for a while, see what happens, you know. And then if it's still there, then take an aspirin. I'll never tell her not to do anything. And she started doing it. I don't even know if we have aspirins in our cupboard anymore. Because we got to believe God. And I can tell you some stories of healing in my life, healing in her life, healing in life and in people's lives that we know. I know people here that have been healed. We heard a testimony the other day from Joe back there about healing. You know, we got to realize that God wants us healed. You know, I remember like when I was born, they told my mother I'd never walk. No, he won't walk. Not going to walk. Because she had post polio or something like that. And if I got a baby picture at home, my feet are in, my hands like this. He'll never walk. My mom's like, oh, okay. My grandmother's like, that's not what the Word of God says. Because she wasn't Word of Faith, but she believed what the Word said. She went for prayer, and it didn't happen like that. But 3 years later, I was walking. You know? And it's like, it is. My wife tells me now, even now, I got nice legs. God healed my legs, man. But it wasn't instant. And sometimes we got to realize that healing is not instant. He said to the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were healed. Wasn't instant as soon as he said it. Because they put action to their faith. As soon as they turned, there was action to their faith. But the healing came as they went, right? So it wasn't instant. Also, sometimes we got to realize that you might need a miracle, not a healing. But as we're going to see in a second, by faith, miracles can come. Galatians 3:5. And can you put that in the New Living Translation? I think it's Kendra. Yes, Kendra. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? I did the Ten Commandments, so I want a miracle. No, of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Jesus Christ. It's because you believed that he parted the Red Sea. Because you believed that he did all these things in the Old Testament and he can do them for me. What he did for them, he can do for us. They weren't even born again. Elijah called down rain and he wasn't even born again. Moses put up a staff and the sea separated and he wasn't even born again. Elijah told a widow, you'll have a child next year when I come by. And then years later, the child died. And he laid on the child, and the child came back to life. And he wasn't even born again. We're born again. We have the Spirit of God
dwelling within us. We have a third of the Trinity dwelling within us. We should be able to believe for miracles, right? You know, it's an amazing thing when we realize that the law does not produce miracles, but believing in faith can. He is a miracle. We sing that he is a miracle-working God. But we have to believe that, we have to have faith that healing is part and parcel of our covenant. Let's go and look at Exodus 15, 26 for a second. I like this one here. See, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. Oh, could you go back to maybe New King James? Only because of the name. How about King James? Because I wanted the version. What I have here says, God introduces his name as Jehovah Rapha, he who heals you. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Well, and one, I think maybe it's King James. I thought it was King James. Anyway, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha. You've heard that, right? I am the Lord that healeth you, Jehovah Rapha. The word Rapha means to heal, to cure, to restore. Here he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. So God does not promise to heal us only as an isolated instance or an illness or a need. He says he is healing. I am Jehovah Rapha. He says, I am Jehovah healing. Like God is love, God is healing. This is how he introduces himself. By calling himself Jehovah Rapha, he is saying healing is what I am. That's why it's so important. We got to realize it's part and parcel. What I like about the fact is the Hebrew root for Rapha is relax. It's to rest. So we got to realize that when he is God, our healer, we have to be able to rest in that. And that's why it was he's healing, given a rest. We have to learn how to rest in the fact that he's our healer. We have to learn how to rest in the fact that he's already done it. We just got to believe. We don't have to work it up. We don't have to, you know, read 15 pages of scripture every day to get healed. We don't have to, you know, watch whoever you want to watch for 3 hours. It's good if you can, but you know, it's the fact that if we don't have to sit there and tick off the boxes to get healed. All we got to believe is we have to learn how to rest and relax, that it's a finished work. Proverbs 14:30, King James Version says, a sound heart is life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of bones. And that word sound in Hebrew is marpe, M-A-R-P-E, which is from the Hebrew word rapha. So he says a sound or a healed heart is the life of the flesh. It's to have a profit or a profitable mind or a sound mind. We got to realize that we have a sound mind renewed to the word of God, to what who God, not only who God says he is, but to who God is. We have to realize that we will have life in our flesh. We got to realize that he is the healer, and it's, you know, it's a rest thing, you know. Like I said, it doesn't mean you have to go out here, if you know, don't give up smoking, or if God speaks to you about something, do what God's telling you. Just always listen to him, your voice, if he's telling you. Because there are times, I remember listening to Nancy Dufresne. She was talking about something her husband did. And he was bleeding for something, and it didn't manifest. And he was like, oh, and then he realized, I missed what God was telling me. It's not that God didn't want to do it, but it's that he missed something. Because sometimes if we are in a disobedience, we can miss what God's speaking to us about. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, I could believe in God for healing, and I could be resting in it, and God might just say, drink more water. Well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, well, neither does, you know, putting water in 12 buckets and getting wine. That doesn't make sense either. But we got to do what God tells us to do, you know. So it's the fact that we have to realize that to be healed, we have to learn
not just to be relaxed like naturally, oh, I'm going to go have a massage, sit in a hot tub. It means that our mind has to be relaxed and renewed to the Word of God. It means that we don't have to work it up to get healed. You understand what I'm saying? We have to realize that healing will come, the manifestation will come when we're relaxed. And you know, I know a few years ago, I was believing for something, for a healing. And so I had my confessions and doing things. And it was, you know, I would do my confessions and a symptom would come. And my mind would start to focus on the symptom. And they'd be like, oh, by stripes, I'm healed. He bore my pain. And you know, I realized that my mind was not at rest. I was believing God for healing. He's healing many times, you know. I would sit there and I, you know, I've had times where I've woken up in the morning and had symptoms of a cold. I get up and go to work. And like I said, usually half an hour after work, symptoms are gone. Because like he told Brother Hagin, a healed man doesn't stay in bed. If you're healed, get up and go to work. If you're there half an hour and your nose is still running, well, go home, you know, or believe God. So if I'm not feeling well, I get up and I go to work. And usually within half an hour, the symptoms are gone. Because a healed man doesn't stay in bed. Unless you're tired. But a healed man doesn't stay in bed. Oh, you know, I'm believing for healing. Honey, can you get me some Kleenex? You know, it's like the healed man gets up and goes for a walk, does things, washes the car, goes to work, whatever it is you do. So my mind kept, but every time there was a symptom, my mind would focus on the symptom. So then I realized my mind was not at rest. Even though I was believing God, confessing the scripture, and then I realized, but I kept confessing the scripture. And after the wire, even when the symptoms came, my mind was focused on what the word said. My mind was focused on what the word said. And then the symptoms dissipated and the healing came. And don't be upset if you're believing for something and it hasn't manifested yet. Just continue to believe. You know, it's like, you know, I drive a Mitsubishi Mirage. Yeah. It's a 3-cylinder, 1-liter. It goes to 0 to 60 in about a day. You know? The thing is, I used to have a Toyota Supra. The first car I ever bought was a Toyota Supra. It was a nice car. It wasn't like the 90s, gone in 60 seconds. It was an 81, but it was a nice car. It was pretty quick. I could get an 88 Mustang off the line. Anyway, the thing is that I've also driven a guy down the street from me had an 88 Buick Regional Grand National, which is one of the fastest production cars ever made, and I got to drive that. It's a fast car. One was fast, one was faster, and the one I have now is slow, but they will both go from A to B. So your healing is coming, right? You ask God, you believe God. You know, it says that was it Daniel, but he was praying. Said it was 21 days. But the answer, God heard and answered the same moment he prayed, it said. But there was a hindrance. Now that's Old Testament, so our hindrances might be different. But it says that as soon as he prayed, an angel was dispatched. So the answer is coming, or the manifestation of healing is coming. But sometimes it might be a Mitsubishi Mirage. And it's just, but you know what? I'm just going to keep my foot on the gas and keep going. Or it might be a Buick Grand National. That might come quick, you know. Thing is, believe for little things. Like I say, for finances, believe for a coffee. Before you can believe for $100 or your rent, you got to build your faith. Because I know people don't believe for, you know, they won't believe for a headache, but you get cancer. It doesn't matter if it's cancer, COVID, a headache, cold. God's the healer. It doesn't matter to God. Our mind might think, this is big. Not to his shed blood. It's all the same, right? It's a finished work. So in Mark 11:23, I'm going to go through this quickly. This is where he speaks to the mountain. So I'll say it fast. And he says, speak to the mountain, and it shall be removed. Then Zechariah 4:7, I'm going to turn to that one for a second. It's going to close with this. Zechariah 4:7.
I'm not going to read. I start at verse 6. Sorry.
Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zebul? Thou shalt fall and become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Speaking to your mountain is not a New Testament necessarily thing that Jesus thought of. Everything Jesus did, he saw the Father doing. He told Zerubbabel, speak to the mountain. Yell grace, grace to it. We have to release our faith. We have to speak those things that be not as though they were. Doesn't mean you're lying. Doesn't mean you ignore the symptoms. It means that you speak the answer. You speak, and that's one of the things that release our faith is by speaking the answer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're redeemed of the Lord, say so. If you're the healed of the Lord, say so. You don't might not feel like it. It doesn't matter. We don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk by our outward sensations. We don't walk by what the world says. We walk by faith. Amen? And you know, and sometimes it is a fight, and sometimes we have to realize that it might take a little bit, but just keep believing. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You just got to keep believing. So I like the fact that when he says speak to the mountain, it's because, and I've heard that you could actually put the Rocky Mountain, if you could take it up, you could put it in the Pacific Ocean, it would disappear. You could take the mountain and put it into the water, and it would actually disappear. And you'd still see the water. We have to realize we have to take that which is natural, which is our sickness, and put it into the spiritual. Speak your mountain. We have to realize that our sickness has to submit when we speak to 1 Peter 2:24. It has to. It might not seem like it right away, but it has to. As long as you speak it out by faith, believing, we have to realize that we need to speak out the answer all the time. Realize, find, like I said, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24. Those are, I know, foundational scriptures here. And these are my two foundational scriptures when I believe for healing. But you can also find things where God will give you a rhema. He will give you a rhema for something if you're believing for something. Because you can go through scriptures and find scriptures about breathing, if you have a hard time breathing, about blood diseases, because there's a thing in there about your blood. There's a thing in there, you know, after the heart attack. I looked at that, and the word says, he will give me a new heart, give me a heart of flesh. So I believe that became a rhema to me. You got to find out what scripture speaks to you about what you're going through. You know, if you have arthritis, go into, I think, one of the Psalms where David talks about a moistness to his bones and stuff like that. Find out what the word says. It might not make sense to other people, but as long as it makes sense to you, what is God saying to you? Paul says that we have to look, that we, sometimes looking into the mirror is like looking into the word, but then we turn, forgetting what we saw in the mirror. I used to think that was weird. Sometimes we forget what the mirror says. The mirror says, I'm by his stripes, I'm healed. The mirror says, I'm prosperous. The mirror says, I'm saved. I can't go by feelings. I was at work this morning doing a job. I was frustrating. If I went by feelings, I would have lost my salvation four times this morning before lunch. Because I was so frustrated with the job. But I know that it doesn't matter how frustrated I am. I'm still born again. I haven't lost my position. I'm still seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm still in the body of Christ. Even if I get mad, I'm still saved. I'm born again. Sometimes I could do something that might affect my fellowship with God, but it never affects my relationship with God. My son might do something wrong, and he might be mad, and he might not want to talk to me because he thinks I'm mad at him, but he's still my son. My relationship has never changed. He's still my begotten. You are still his begotten. I don't care if you haven't talked to God in 5 years. If you got born again, got mad, and haven't talked to God in 5 years, turn around, repent, and he's there. He's there. Your fellowship might be affected, but your relationship, your salvation is not fragile. But we got to realize neither is my healing is also not fragile. It started at the same cross. It started at Calvary, and it was finished at Calvary. That's why people say, when is God going to heal you? Said he already did 2,000 years ago. Right. Well, you're doing this. It doesn't matter what my body's doing. go to a doctor and you get a doctor's report, it's mad. You don't sit there and say, "Oh, I don't believe you, doctor, the Bible." You just say, "Thank you for the report, but I have another doctor I'm going to go talk to." You know, we got to realize that the Word says what the Word says. The Word says what the Word says. Do we believe it or not? And if we believe it, then we got to believe it. And don't let people tell you that God put something on you to teach you a lesson. You got to rest in the fact that it's a finished work. Rest in the fact that, you know, the healing is coming. But it doesn't mean, you know, like I've heard, doesn't mean you go out in the wintertime without a coat on and you get chilly. Well, that's just you. Believe God, but next time put a coat on. You know, it's like when people, you know, somebody's around me and they're coughing all over me, doesn't mean I go give them a big hug, you know. I believe for protection when I'm driving, but I still put a seatbelt on. You know, it's like, so there's natural things to do. That's not what I'm saying. But we got to realize that we don't have to work ourselves up. Healing will manifest. We just have to relax and realize that healing, the word for healing was relax or rest. Rest in the fact that it's a finished work, amen? Rest in the fact that if God speaks to you to get a handkerchief and have pastor pray for it, then do it. And you know, I've done that. I've seen people do that, and I've seen manifestations happen. And it's phenomenal what God will do. We got to not put God in a box. Amen. You know, He might heal him with a handkerchief and heal him because God told him to go and drink 5 glasses of water. Hezekiah put a poultice on and got healed. There's nothing, if you look at what he put in the poultice, there's no natural healing power in there. But God told him to do it, so he did it. Obedience usually is the key. What is God telling you to do? God might tell you just to relax and rest. Relax and rest. Rest in his word. Spend time with him. Amen? You know, and like I said, he's not teaching you something by breaking your leg or giving you cancer. He's not teaching you something. That's not how he operates. If he operated that way, that's not the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The goodness of God is not him putting sickness on you. That's not the goodness of God, you know. And sometimes we have a mindset because of tradition and what we've heard in the past. And we got to realize that God is a good God and every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? Amen. So remember what the word says about looking in the mirror. If you can't see your victory, you're looking in the wrong spot. Like I said, you got to get your mindset back to what the word says. I had to catch myself, like I said. And I was even doing confessions and everything. So I had to get back to what the word said. Amen? Amen? So, because I know that wintertime's coming and sometimes colds happen. You know, but, you know, don't be one of those ones. I get this every year. Well, get what you say. Right? People, that's right. No, I've heard that example. I think it was Brother Hagin said that. People say, I get one of these every year. Well, you want to get what you say. I get the fact that the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed. Psalm 91 works for me. Amen. You know, amen? Amen? You can stand for a second. Really? You know, it's exciting being a child of God. It really is. You know, and sometimes it almost seems, not difficult, but it can seem challenging. Because we do. We swim upstream to what the world says. You know, we get bad news, and we're not supposed to panic. We got to watch ourselves. We're not supposed, like Pastor's been teaching a lot about casting your care, casting your anxiety. And the same thing, if you get a bad report from a doctor, cast it on him, turn to the word. Amen? If you wake up with a sniffle, turn to the word. Wake up with a headache, turn to the word. What does the word say? You know, I know that Norval Hayes was preaching in Vancouver, I think it is, at Henry Hinn's church one day. And he was sitting there, and he goes, there's some women here that are believing for a baby, and God told you were sterile. And about 3 women came up. He goes, I'm not praying for you. He quoted a psalm that says, women that praise will be fertile, or something like that. He goes, just go praising God. And he carried on preaching. They were all pregnant within a year. They were all married, but they were all pregnant within a year as well. He said, just believe what the word says. Amen? Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can receive what you have and that we can rest and that it's a finished work. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and we can open our ears to hear what you have to say. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a scripture verse for every situation in our lives, that we can speak it out and know that that mountain will be removed. In Jesus' name, amen.